Hello and welcome to the State of Kentucky. I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky, and today we are blessed to have with us the podcasters from the very well-known My Old Kentucky podcast, Robert Connie and Jasmine Smith. Let me bring them in with us. Robert and Jasmine, welcome to the State of Kentucky.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for saying we're well-known, too. I don't know about that.
But. Well, I think it was Perry Bacon who said, you got to listen to My Old Kentucky podcast. So he hadn't said that about any of mine. So you all are claim it, you know? Yeah. All right. So we are doing this because the podcast, My Old Kentucky podcast, is taking a hiatus because Mr. Connie is running for office. So I want to get to that in a moment. But first of all, let's just talk about your podcast a little bit. How long have you been doing it and how many episodes have you done?
Oh, gosh. Jasmine, you tell a story and I'll look up how many episodes we're on.
Yeah. So we started our podcast in September of 2016. So we did it 10 years. And we actually started talking about it in 2015. And then Matt Bevin got elected and we're kind of like, do we want to do this? And then we got it off the ground in 2016. And then a lot of other stuff happened during that election.
Yes.
And so we've done it almost every week for nearly a decade.
So that's been a lot.
I didn't realize that that was the date because apparently Matt Bevin getting elected caused a lot of things to happen. I started Forward Kentucky in September of 2016. So, yeah. So how many episodes?
497. Jasmine, we quit three shy of 500.
Oh, man, we were so close.
You need to put three more in the can.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of guests on your show. I mean, every week it's like I'd look at it and I'd go, wow, look who they got this week. So without going into a lot of history, who would you say is one of your favorite guests you've had on the show? Jasmine, I'll ask you first. Tell me one of your favorite guests, one or two.
I think one of my favorite guests is John Yarmuth because he felt like our earliest big get to me. Like, we were still recording. We've been recording remotely since 2020, and we interviewed him when we were still using Ben Carter's free podcast space in Smoketown. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we hadn't been doing this very long whenever we did our first interview with him. And then he actually came back on the show for a remote interview a few years later. But that felt like, hey, we can get a congressman on the show. That's pretty cool. So he was one of my favorites for sure.
And Jasmine, you should tell the full story here, which is we recorded it in this space and it was openly available and we used it every week and we had kind of a standing reservation. And because we were recording with Congressman Yarmuth, he was like, I can't do your normal time. You know, my schedule is weird, but if you can do it at this time, we can do it. And I thought I had scheduled the time correctly and I definitely had not.
Yeah, there was a group with a bunch of children using the podcast space. So we had to record at like a dining room break room table upstairs.
Oh, wow.
And it was in the middle of the summer and it was like 100 degrees that day. And it was a billion really degrees in that break room.
we broiled Congressman Yarmuth. Yes. That is a thing we did on our show. Yeah.
And not because of the tough questions, but just because of the space.
Yeah.
So Robert, who's your favorite or one or two favorites?
Sure. It's tough to say. I mean, there's different ways that you can be a favorite, right? And I think that there are some that were interesting or like meaningful for in surprising ways. Like I didn't really have high hopes for the recording that we did with former Representative Reginald Meeks, but that ended up being one of the more interesting shows that we ever did. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some that were very cool because they were kind of off the beaten path. You know, there was a time in between elections where we interviewed like two different poets, one from Eastern Kentucky and one from Western Kentucky. That was pretty cool. I would say there's all kinds of things, but two people that kind of fit a tack that isn't what we talked about when we answered this question on our own show is Adam Edelin and Craig Greenberg reached out to us when they were running for office. You know, that was when Adam Edelin was running for governor and, you know, Mayor Greenberg was running for mayor. And they both, you know, they running across the whole state or the entire city of Louisville, and they decided that it was in their best interest to be interviewed on our show, which was a pretty big deal. I thought it was cool. You know, not everybody absolutely loves those two people. I you know, and my feelings are complicated and mostly positive about both of them. And I think, you know, it was an interesting situation that we both kind of found ourselves in, that it was just kind of like, wow, this is something that people running for office want to do. They want to be on our show, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. As I've listened to you over the years, it seems like that there's sort of two personalities going here. There's the Robert personality and the Jasmine personality, and they're definitely a contrast. Do y'all work to do that, or is that just the way it has been since the beginning?
This is before the beginning, Bruce.
Yeah, this is literally our friendship since 2008.
So I think. Did y'all meet?
We met at the Baptist Campus Ministry.
Yeah. You'll appreciate UK. That, Bruce. We met at the Baptist Campus Ministry, and we formed a progressive podcast. So as a
BSU.
We had to change it from that was when I was a freshman. Nationally, they changed it from the BSU to the BCM. And yes, as someone with a Baptist ministry degree who also has a progressive podcast, I'm sure you can appreciate that that's where we met as well.
Yeah.
So we met there in 2008. We were friends in undergrad. I mean, Jasmine came 3 years after me. So, and I was in grad school. So we were in Lexington together for a long time. And then we both ended up in Louisville. And, you know, it wasn't too much longer after Jasmine got here that I had a different podcast about film of all things, and it had kind of petered out, and I was like, let's do a different one. You know, Jasmine is somebody we really mesh with, and I kind of feel like just the fact that we function so well together is the reason why it's lasted as long as it did. I think that there are other people where there is, you know, where it doesn't fit as naturally. I think my personality certainly grates against people. But and I wouldn't say that's actually true of Jasmine, but I definitely think if I hadn't had Jasmine, that somebody else would have quit on me a long, long time ago. But I do think, you know, that we work very, very well together, and that's kept us going for a decade.
Jasmine, do you agree that y'all work well together?
Yeah, and that is part of why we're going on hiatus right now, and that I'm not like bringing someone in while Robert's running for office, because I can't. Really, I don't really know how I would do it long term with another co-host.
Yeah, I realize that you don't mean it this way, but it just tickles me every week when you start the show. Robert usually kicks off the show, and then he says, "How are you, Jasmine?" And there's this pause, and then it's, "I'm okay." I'm like, she's, you know, it's like Robert is just like full of himself and Jasmine is just calm. And I'm wondering if that's the difference between data and lawyer, but I don't know.
I think it's also that the subject matter we're often talking about, like if I'm doing pretty well in my personal life, I'm like, oh, now we have to talk about this pretty depressing stuff. Like, it's hard to be like hype to do it sometimes.
It is kind of ironic that like we started this show like probably when the worst period to be a Democrat in the state of Kentucky started. It was, you know, we got September, we got 3 months of a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. And then we've been dealing with a Republican supermajority in both houses of the legislature pretty much since the fourth month of the show. We dealt with Matt Bevin for a few years. You know, we've had Andy Beshear, but we haven't had any other of the executive offices. We haven't had either of the senators. We've had the Louisville Congress seat, but you know, we haven't even had the Lexington one. It's been in the history of the Democratic Party in Kentucky the most difficult period. But you know, we keep doing it because we enjoy it, and like somebody has to talk about this stuff, and it might as well be us. I kind of feel like so
speaking of difficult, I wanted to come back to guests. and ask about difficult guests. I've heard rumors of some early episodes that were sort of rough, but I'd like to ask who you remember as a difficult guest. You don't necessarily have to say the name unless you just want to. So, Robert, tell me about a difficult guest.
Well, difficulty in the same way that, like, you know, meaningful can have different, like, meanings, right? We worked really hard to get Matt Jones on the show, the Kentucky sports commentator who was at one point thinking about running for Senate and has, you know, been active in politics in Kentucky for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Jasmine listens to his radio show like every single day. She's like a big fan. And, you know, I remember back when he got started, you know, I don't listen all the time, but he's somebody who I've known of for an extremely long time. And like we booked him on the show. And we're like, what a big deal. And he's like, I'm going to have to call in. And that seems like an extremely reasonable request for a show. And, you know, we are not audio engineers by any stretch of the imagination. We're barely podcasters. You know, we had this board that I was like, you know, I think we can do this. I'll like plug this into here and plug this into here. And it worked, but it was very, very bad. The quality of the audio is horrible. So it wasn't difficult in that he was a difficult guest. I mean, he was very generous with his time. I felt like he was very generous with his answers, but it sounded like he was talking into a tin can. So in terms of it being a difficult show, I feel like that was very high up on the list. Jasmine, it still is probably our most downloaded show. And we didn't even promote it because Jasmine was like, I'm not even going to put
it. I was too embarrassed about the audio quality. Yeah. But I think like in terms of like difficult guests, the only one that comes to mind was a show that I wasn't a part of when Robert had two like sparring think tank people on the show.
Yeah, I was kind of supposed to be more of a debate and it devolved into, I don't know, whatever it was. It wasn't friendly. And yeah, it was a researcher from the University of Louisville who's kind of more of a progressive and does kind of like urban issues. And then Bruce, I don't know if you remember the Pegasus Institute. Is that something that rings a bell? Yeah. So it's like one of the people who like managed the Pegasus Institute. And, you know, they had been like, oh, we listen to your show every week. We would love to come on and talk about the issues of the day and present the conservative standpoint. And I was like, I don't really want to talk to these guys, but my friend Pat sure does. He's been raring to go to talk to these people for a long time. You know, it could be fun. It was not fun.
And I think we were also still figuring out like what the show looked like in terms of guests and things like that. And I think we ultimately decided like that we wanted it to be a pretty friendly show and not like a political debate show after
not,
that.
Not like Crossfire or something like
yes.
that.
And yeah. And there's a lot of like male energy in podcasting, and I do think we just kind of that there's enough of that in the world, and so you know I definitely kind of wanted to be more of have some different kind of energies that are coming through there.
So have you ever thought about going to video, or are you just satisfied, happy with just doing the audio side?
I would say anything that you can do with a podcast, we've like thought about it and like said, well, these people are doing this or doing that. And you know, the thing is this fits into our lives in the way that it does. Mm-hmm. And we're both very happy with like the way that it works. And we're not trying to like turn this into our career. We're not trying to like, you know, build a brand around this. It's just something that we do that we enjoy, that other people seem to enjoy the way that it is. And it has worked really well. If we wanted to add video, it would have been extra work. You know, I'd have had to like wear makeup or put a hat on or something. Like, I don't know. I have to look nice for the camera. I don't really want to mess with that, you know? And it also is beneficial for guests. Guests often are like, is it going to be video? And I said, no, it's not. And they're like, okay, great. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. We've considered it all. But at the end of the day, it works the way that it works for us.
Who have you wanted to get as a guest that you've not been able to? Jasmine?
I would like to get guests that are Kentuckians who aren't necessarily involved in politics, but like have been political in certain ways. So one that comes to mind for me is Chef Sarah Bradley. She is a chef from Paducah who's been on Top Chef and the Food Network. And she's, you know, in far Western Kentucky, but been like a pretty vocal supporter, like on social media, of Andy Beshear and Democratic politics. And so I would love to have someone like that who is like an influence on Kentucky, who is also a progressive. And so some maybe non-politicians who are also progressive Kentuckians.
Okay, Robert?
I've had a lot of ideas through the years, but one that has always, I've always kind of been disappointed that I haven't had the inclination or gumption to actually put into practice is I have like an idea to kind of gather and collect all of the people who had an impact on like the first quarter century of politics in Kentucky, who are almost all still with us. You know, Brereton Jones did just pass away, and this idea happened like before that had happened. And I mean, I guess he was governor in the 90s, but I kind of wanted it to go back that far as well. But just to talk to like Steve Beshear, Paul Patton, Greg Stumbo, David Williams, you know, Jeff Hoover, like people like that who you know, maybe more willing to kind of tell stories and to kind of collect that information. I mean, I think state politics as just a thing are kind of esoteric, especially in a small place like Kentucky. You know, we have like 4 million people, and the people that care really deeply, but it's not a million people. You're not going to like get the funding to put this project together because the audience is pretty small, but it's something that I think is worth doing. But it would require quite a bit of effort. It would require probably a lot of travel. It would require a lot of kind of just dealing with old dudes who may not want to figure out how Streamcaster works, you know, StreamYard, right? It's, you know, that's kind of those things. And, but I do think it would be a worthwhile project. And I think those stories are ones that I'm interested in, but you know, we'll see, maybe someday.
You'd probably have to travel to them and take a camera and like that. Okay. So let's go back to the hiatus for a moment. Robert, you are causing the show to stop 3 episodes short of 500. That's horrible. Why are you running? First of all, tell everybody what you're running for and why you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm running for JCPS school board. And the long and short of it is I'm running for it because a lot of people who I very much respect asked me to look into it. And I looked into it and I said, it's something I can do. It's some way that I feel like I can actually make an impact on public policy. And as my old Kentucky podcast is evidence of, I am more than willing to volunteer my time for things that seem kind of silly or ridiculous because I think they're meaningful or might have an impact on people. The JCPS school board and school boards in general are not paid positions in the state of Kentucky. I think you get paid like $50 a meeting or something like that. But the Jefferson County Public School Board manages the second largest budget in the state of Kentucky. It is larger than the Metro Louisville budget. It's larger than the city of Lexington. It's larger than Fayette County School Board. Obviously it is right behind the state of Kentucky itself in its size of budget. It is a massive amount of tax dollars that come through JCPS. And, you know, we, in my opinion, have had kind of a dearth of leadership in that area. Obviously doing this work, people often ask me, and they ask Jasmine too, so it's not just me, like, when are you going to run for office? And it is something I've kind of never really had the inclination to do. We talk to a lot of people who run for state legislature. We've talked to people who are running for, you know, these executive positions in state government. We've talked to people running for Congress. A lot of that work seems really difficult to me, to the point that I wouldn't necessarily want to do it. If you're in the legislature as a Democrat, you don't have the opportunity to legislate. The Republicans block every single Democratic priority. There's no way to get anything through. I wouldn't even want to be in the U.S. Congress. I mean, you're mostly just spending your time fundraising and doing what Hakeem Jeffries tells you to do, right? At the end of the day, it's really, I mean, I think Morgan McGarvey is extremely gifted and he actually makes a lot out of that position. I couldn't do that job. But one job I do think I can do is I can be on the school board. And I do think like I know how to read a budget. I can ask questions that are meaningful around the budgets that get presented. I can, you know, take feedback from people working in schools and bring that forward to the people who are leading the school district out of the central office. Like, I feel like there's a lot of work that isn't getting done or not being done well enough that I feel like I can do it. So ultimately, that's why I decided to do it after being asked to do it. And of course, SB4 accelerated the timeline quite a bit. So we are doing it this year as opposed to 2 years from now. But that's, at the end of the day, why we're doing
it. And
that.
What district is it? Which one?
So it's District 2. Bruce,
in the new map.
Yeah, if you want me to talk to you about the new map, I'm happy to do that. I have a lot of things I can tell you about the new map, but it's just
So who's running against you?
Yeah, so it is okay. There's no primary, right? It's open. It's like the small cities in Jefferson County where the filing deadline's in the summer for a November election, and it's just whoever gets the most votes. It is 5 people running in this race. I don't know 2 of them. One of them, I've seen their answers to a survey in the newspaper. She seems very smart, astute. I think that she's, going to be an interesting person to get to know through this process. But the 2 other people I do know of are Lillian Brents, I think former president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, and Tim Shaughnessy, former state senator, served in the state Senate during the 80s and 90s, I think. So he's around the age of maybe my grandparents. So he's who I'm running against also. Yeah.
So Jasmine, are you going to be Robert's campaign manager?
I'm not. I can't really do that because of my job, but I am certainly supporting Robert and volunteering in whatever way he wants me to.
I have a task for you, Jasmine, if you want to. I was going to ask you about this like privately, but I can ask you publicly so you can't say no. Bruce, do you know that Jasmine also has another hobby besides hosting the podcast?
I would imagine she does. What would that be?
She is an accomplished comedian, like stand-up comedian.
Wow.
Did the semifinals of your contest happen yet, Jasmine?
No, they're next week.
So, Jasmine does have the semifinals of the funniest person in Louisville coming up this next week. So, but I am in the middle of like writing scripts for like social media videos, and I need somebody funny to punch some stuff up. So I'm going to get you to do that, Jasmine.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right here on the air, Jasmine, it's just like that. Publicize when your show is so we can all come see it.
It's June 30th at 7 p.m. at Louisville Comedy Club.
All right. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. I'll ask you the question I always ask when I finish an interview. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
Just always been proud to be part of the Forward Kentucky Network.
Thank you. You know how glad I am to have you here. The best political podcast in Kentucky. We're glad to claim it.
Yeah. We will get to 500. We'll be back. We'll be back in some form.
We'll get to 500.
You could post this and it could be 498. All right. Robert Connie, Jasmine Smith, the former hosts of My Old Kentucky podcast, hopefully soon to be back once Robert wins his election and Jasmine wins her comedy contest. We will be looking for both of them to do that. Thank you both for coming on the show, and thank you both for all the great work you do.
Thanks for having us.